Amen. Amen. The very start of this reading, what we have read here is a challenge is given to Timothy by Paul and going into ministry. A charge is given that he will suffer. The more that he lives for Christ, the more that he knows of Christ, the more that he sees of the holiness of God, the more that he studies to show himself approved, the more that he disassociates, the more that he is not off the world and not being conformed to the world, as we looked at this morning, the more we see here that the charge is given that it will not be an easy life. That yea, the godly will suffer persecution. Yea, that those who are not politically correct, as the saying would go, would suffer for Christ's sake. And the scriptures do remind us that blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And friend, today Paul can say this from a statement that he has already experienced. He can say it because he has been in this position. And I think for context, it is beneficial for us even to look at an account just to refresh ourselves into this. In Acts 16, in verse 18 onwards, it reads, "And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned away, said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made them feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Here we see that Paul was about doing the work that he was called to. He was about the service of the king. He was about giving that what he was commanded to do, serving Christ. And yea, what was the result? Yea, when the Jews saw he was doing, they did not like it. They did not see that it was relevant. They did not see that it was beneficial for them. It didn't suit their culture. It didn't suit their teaching. It didn't suit what they wanted to hear, because they were relying on their works. But rather, Paul here was offering. Here we see that they beat them. And friend, today they beat them and then they cast them into prison. This was a charge for what? Doing what they were charged to do in their ministry. And friend, today, what is the response in verse 25? "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises." After being beaten, after being scourged, after being mocked and all of these things, under these false accusations, what were they doing? They were praising God. As we spoke on this morning about the word having free course, it wasn't about Paul's entertainment. It wasn't about Paul's relaxation. It wasn't about what Paul could benefit out of. But yea, it was about that the word of God may have free course and be glorified. And here he is in the prison cell. Here he is rejoicing to his Savior, singing praise to the one who is worthy. Singing praise even in the darkest, what we think is the darkest situation, in a prison cell, bound up in chains. And he is rejoicing. And he's praying. And he's seeking. And friend, today, if there is ever a point of avenue of how the church here, as Timothy, is being charged with this, that the godly will suffer persecution, and how we see Paul's attitude, he can say this through the inspiration of the Spirit, because he had been there. Even what we think would be the detrimental, what we think would be the worst thing ever, being cast into the prison cell, he rejoiced. He was praising his God because his hope was not in this world. His hope was not in the things of the temporal. His hope was not in the things of his pain, but his hope and his strength came from God. Even we think of the Protestant Reformation, we think of the fields of Scotland with the Covenanters, how many went to be martyrs. Tyndale, I was reading about when he was on the stake and he cried, "Open the King of England's eyes." How many today could be near pleading to get off? Instead, it wasn't for their gain. Instead, that it would be that God may be glorified. And it is a powerful thing even to think that the apostle here was giving these instructions. He was given these charges to Timothy because he had experienced it. As we even sung, "I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause." How many can really say that? But we can say it by the grace of God. We can say it only through the grace of God, because the natural, we'd want to run away from that situation. But friend, today, it is only our reliance, it is only our hope, it is only our strength can come from God. That is why this charge has been beset upon Timothy. That is why this charge about persecution, that it won't be a bed of roses, that it will be tiresome. That it will take time. It will be hard. It won't be an easy route. Reminded that the believer's life is not to be an easy route. Because the world out there will not want to accept politically or not politically correct statements. We just see it on the streets of depravity. We looked at the unregenerate heart this morning, and that is the reality. When the unregenerate heart hears the message of the gospel, because it is nothing of themselves, pride comes in. They can't work their way. They can't do this. They can't do that. That is why it has to be a work of the Spirit. That is why this charge is being given to Timothy, to give him guidance, to give him instruction, to give him a bit of head knowledge and to show that this will not be an easy route. And friend, today, at the moment in this province, we have it easy. We have it so easy. We think of the persecuted brethren in lands for their faith. And yea, could we stand? Only but by the grace of God. So Paul gives here the charge that to Timothy he gives about that they'll face persecution. It continues, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." We see even at the start of chapter 3, it gives a description of the end times. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce disputers of those that are good." You see, friend, today, as we read in Isaiah, they had turned their eyes off Christ. They had turned their eyes off the God of the Bible. They had no time for the God of the Bible. Here we see, not again, a depiction that they have no time for the things of God. They have time for themselves. They have time to build up in this world. They have time to build their pleasures up. They have time to build their money up. They have time to do all of this here. I think of the rich man who wanted to tear down barns and build bigger barns. And what was it told? "Night thy soul shall be acquired of thee." You see, that is the heart of the natural, because they're looking to build up, because they're looking to see more of what they can get out of, because they're looking to see what they can do, what they can build up, because the heart is proud. The heart is proud. And here we see a depiction of it here, and in Isaiah chapter 1 as well, a depiction is given of how a nation, how hearts here in chapter 3 are turned against the things of God because they love not thy law. Then moving on to verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learnt and hast been assured of knowing of they of whom thou hast learnt them. Friend, today in this province is without excuse. This province is a gospel mission after gospel mission. This province has had faithful remnant of preachers. This province has had Bible-believing churches right around the corners of this province. This land, I believe, is without excuse. And here we see that Timothy is being exhorted. Here we see Timothy is being told to remember. And the thing is, we need to remember what we have been taught. We need to remember the Word of God that is as it's preached, that it would apply to our lives. Yea, that we wouldn't just be listening, but yea, that we'd be taking it in. Yea, that we would be applying it to our hearts. And yea, that we would be growing more and more, not conforming to the world, but yea, growing in the knowledge of Christ. Yea, growing more and more. And I stress this point because it is needed. With such weak, with such feminine, with such all of Christianity, we need the Word of God back into the church again. And may even this church stand firm on the Word. But it isn't the philosophy of man, but yea, it is the Word of God. And we'll get on to that. Because the things that has been taught, because from a child he has known the Holy Scriptures, from a child he has been taught the things, and what a privilege that is. I was saved at an early age, not because I wanted to be saved, because the Spirit convicted me at a young age and converted me. I was taught the things of God. And friend, today how many people have heard, I remember even doing doors there last 2 weeks ago, and a man said, I went to Sunday school down the hill. And I just, the people knew. Yes, years ago everybody was sent. They heard the message of the gospel. They knew the things of God. But yet the heart does not want to hear it nor receive it. And friend, today it is a privileged position. But we have to remember that there is more condemnation on them that have known the word than Sodom and Gomorrah, who die without Christ. That is a shocking thing. It's a sombering thing to really think about that. What a privilege it is to be brought up in a Christian home. What a privilege it is to be brought up in the things of God, to be sent to meetings, to be sent to the things of God. Things that talk about the Word of God, things that teach you about the Word of God, things that benefit you. For those that have been brought up here in this church, it is a privilege. And yeah, it is an honor to sit faithfully under faithful preachers of the Word of God, to learn from the Word of God. For those Sunday school teachers who faithfully teach the Word of God to the children, it is a blessing and a gift of itself. And it doesn't leave you. That's the reality of it. Now notice in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is not the words of man. This nation seems to think we need to rewrite the Bible, but rather the Bible is here to change this generation, not to be rewrote. And is profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? It is what we believe, and we're going to get on to that in a minute or two. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Friend, today, if ever a day we need to know our doctrine or what we believe, 'tis today. It shocks me sometimes when I speak to professing believers, the littleness they know of the things of God. And yes, we can have our differences in eschatology and in other things, but friend, today, if the fundamentals are not right, there is something wrong. Friend, today I'm just going to do a quick summary of what does a believer believe. Well, firstly, we obviously believe that God created the heavens and the earth. Find in Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, that He created them. That He was there in the beginning. That God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's always been there. He's eternal. He's outside of time, of matter. And He's outside of thought because He's always eternal. But he created the heavens and the earth in the 6 days, and the seventh he rested. And then we recall the fall. And then, because of the fall, there was that promise of a mediator. There was that promise of one who would come in and die and shed his blood. There was that one who was prophesied in the Old Testament. And when we look at the Old Testament, we see the pictures of the prophesying of Christ. Just open in Isaiah or the Psalms, and we see the depiction of the cross. And then we see the Christ that was incarnate, the one that was born of a virgin. Yea, the one that lived on this earth, the creator of heaven and earth, the one that was part of the Trinity, the one that came from heaven's glory, made lower than the angels, and dwelt among us, and became that sacrifice for sin. He shed his blood. He took the nails in his hands and in his feet. He took the crown of thorns that was beaten onto his brow. He took the spear in his side. His back was whipped. He was spat upon. But friend, today he took the wrath of God for the sins of his people upon him, that we might have life and life eternal. But praise God, he didn't stay in the tomb. But he died crying, "It is finished." And 3 days later, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and praise God, we can say he is the soon returning King. He is the one that will return one day to claim his ransom bride. He is the one that will return to set up his kingdom and rule forever. Oh, friend, today, but the question must be asked, are you ready to meet thy God? Are you ready to stand before the King of glory? If you know not Christ, it is a terrible judgment. But you might say, "I'm young enough." Well, the Bible reminds us that life, it is but a vapor, it shall soon be past. The question again, where will you spend eternity? Friend, today the Bible tells us that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that there is no hope in man, for the wages of sin is death. We are under the condemnation of God. We have no hope of ourselves. We are dead in trespasses and sins. And it takes the Spirit of God by believing on Christ, the one that died, the one that rose again, the one that shed his blood. Oh, by believing, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Friend, today you might say, "Well, I'll never keep it." But friend, today he preserves his people. And what a privilege that is. To be preserved, yea, unto glory. To be preserved, to be preserved that we have an inheritance incorruptible for those that know Christ. But friend, today if you die in your sin, if you die without Christ, the Bible speaks of hell. This is a thing in doctrine that people don't want to mention. It's too harsh, but Christ spoke 3 times more on hell than he did on heaven. At those, we think of the rich man, and he lifted his eyes when he died, being in torments. Friend, today that is just a waiting place for the judgment, the great white throne of judgment. Friend, today that the quick and the dead shall stand before, or the dead shall stand before God, and they'll be judged, every one of them, for thought, word, and deed. That's a sombering thing for those that die without Christ. And friend, today you've heard the message of the gospel. You've heard about the way of salvation, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way but through him. There is no other hope but through Christ. But still you're not saved. You might say, "Well, I attend Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church." But friend, today it won't save you. A religious man came to Jesus by night and said unto Master, "What must I do to be saved?" A religious man came to Jesus and asked him. He was inquiring about him. He was thinking about him. And he was talking to Rabbi. He was saying he was some sort of teacher sent from God. Maybe thinking this man was another prophet. But yea, Christ told him, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And except we be born again from above, except we be born again through the Spirit of God, we will not enter the kingdom of God." Oh, friend, today are you ready to meet the King of Kings? If you were to die the night, where would you spend eternity? God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He commandeth sinners to come through the blood-sprinkled way. Friend, today, if you'll only trust him, Only trust him. Only trust him now. He can save you. He can save you. He can save you now. Moving on. So here we see that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It is beneficial. It is useful. It is productive for doctrine, for reproof. For reproof, for correction. You see, friend, today we live in a society where there's that many viewpoints and there's that many ideas and there's that many theories and all of this here. And what are we to do? We are to check it via the Word of God. We are not to go off in a limb and say, just because a scientist says something, just because a politician says something, even just because a minister or a preacher says something, if it cannot be found in the Word of God, we need to reprove. We need to see for ourselves. We should not just be hearers, but also we should be readers. Friend, today, and I said, commented on this morning, I do believe that not enough believers read their Bible. And when we look at the state of our land, when we look at the state of our churches, and we're not called to a simple faith, but rather we are called to study to show thyself approved. And that isn't a call to a minister. That's a call to all believers, I believe. Moving on, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, the Word of God is not just to be used for reproof and for doctrine and for telling what do I believe, but rather it is for life. Rather it is to show us how we may live, how we may worship God, how we may study His Word, how we may do mission work, how we may do all of these things, and to know how to live a biblically sound life. It is through instruction for righteousness. It is profitable. It is good. It is, we should be looking at the Bible. We should be seeing more and seeing what can this benefit us. How can we see this? How can we adopt this into our life through the Word of God? And moving on to the last verse, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. John Gill says, by the man of God may be meant everyone that in a special relationship belongs to God, who is chosen by God the Father, redeemed by the Son, and called by the Spirit, but more especially a minister of the gospel. For as it was unusual, especially a minister of the gospel, for it was usual to call a prophet under the Old Testament by this name, it seems to be transferred for a minister of the New Testament and the design of the scriptures. See, there we see that John Gill, as he states here, is giving a point of view that this is a charge. This is a charge given to Timothy as a minister. This is a charge that he may be able to use the scripture, use the things that he has learned, use the good upbringing that he has been taught of the things of God, and to stay away from evil, and yea, to look to the Word of God, and yea, that he might serve God through it. And furnished on to all good works. Yea, we are not saved by good works, but rather we are to serve God after we are saved. Yea, that we would serve him. I touched on it in my last application this morning about how we are all called to serve the Lord. And again, I reiterate, we are to be about the service of the Lord. We are to be, whether that's cleaning a church, whether that's hospitality, whether that's being an encouragement, whether that's preaching, whether that's giving out a gospel tract, whether that's giving somebody a lift, etc. It can all be used to bring glory to God. It is to be used for the advancement of the kingdom. It is to be used not to bring ourselves up, but yea, that Christ would be glorified. Yea, that God would be glorified. Yea, that it would be profitable for the glory of God. Just then, the close of the few points of application. A few points of application. In a society what we live in, we do need to be on our guard against political correctness. We don't have the form of persecution at the moment in this country in relation to what Paul and Silas had in terms of being bound up and put into prison, beaten, etc. But we have a society where it is politically correct. It is a society where we see the depravity of man. It is a society where we see this month is called Pride Month. And that really tells you all you need to know. Because it is prideful. And pride is the root of sin. And here we see that it is in a society that we live in. If ever we need to be in the Word of God, 'tis now. If ever we need to know our Bibles, 'tis now. If ever we need to be in the place of prayer, I believe 'tis now. If ever we need to be able to know our doctrine and to know what is being said, it is now. I believe that Ulster is without excuse in relation to the gospel, but I also believe that Ulster's Christians are not, I'm not saying about here, but I'm saying in a general statement, are lazy in the things of God. Because, friend, today they study not His Word. They are not in the place of prayer. Their desires is not there. They'd rather be out in the world, pleasing themselves, building their position up. But rather, the believer's desire should be to be in the Word, to be talking about the things of God, to be talking about it, to see more and more, as I quoted this morning, of the holiness of God, to see more of the righteousness of God, to see who the God that we serve actually is. He is the God who is the only true and living God, the one who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And yea, He is the one that we serve. He is the one who deserves all the glory and all the praise and all the honor, because He alone is worthy. If nobody was to be saved, He is still worthy to be praised. He is still worthy to be praised. Friend, today we come and we look at this text and we look at these verses that we have read. And friend, today at the start of chapter 3, we see man and its depravity. And then we see the charge that has been given to Timothy from the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul, that is given because this is a man who's experienced it. And yea, may we stand knowing the things of God through good preaching, through good teaching from the faithful pastors that faithfully proclaim the Word, from our study at the quiet place in our homes, from the reading of the Word of God, from the place of prayer. I repeat myself again. When was the last time you were in the prayer meeting? When was the last time you were in the closet at home praying? When was the last time you were in the Word of God? When was the last time that you were reading the Word of God? And friend, today went over it and over. You looked into the context of it. You looked into a subject and thought to yourself, what does this say in the Scriptures? What does the Bible say? Not what a pastor says, not what a preacher says, not what an apologist says, but rather, what does the Scriptures say? That is what we need to do. It is to study, to show thyself approved. That at the end of our life, we can say like Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Oh friend, today, do you long to be in glory? Do you long to see the King of kings and the Lord of lords? Do you long to see the one who redeemed His children? Do you long to see the holiness of God? Do you long to see the sin put away and destroyed forever? A perfect place for a perfect people. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. What a day, glorious day that will be. But if you know not Christ, my friend, today it is a judgment. And it isn't a thing to look forward to the coming of the Lord. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, what think thee of Christ? Oh, that the believer tonight, that you would be challenged. Oh, that you would be desired to be in the Scriptures more and more. We can never be in the Scriptures too much. We can never outgrow it. I heard of a church last week that said that when asked about what were they studying in their Bible study, they said, oh, we finished the Bible. I remember my old minister, the Reverend David Silverside, saying, after he retired, the Bible is exhaustible. I barely touched the surface. I barely got the dust off the cover in 30 years of preaching. Oh, friend, today, may this be the case for us, that we would grow more and more studying His Word in the place of prayer and desiring to see more and more of the righteousness of God. May God add His blessing upon even these simple thoughts, even this evening, for His glory. Amen. We'll turn to sing our last item of praise. Psalm 23, very well-known psalm. The Lord, we'll read the full of the psalm in the Psalter here. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green He leadeth me, the quiet waters by. My soul He doth restore again, and me to walk doth make, within the path of righteousness, even for His own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark vale, yet will I fear none ill, for Thou art with me on Thy rod, and staff me comfort still. My table Thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head Thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. After the musical introduction, we'll stand and remain standing for prayer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we rejoice and we praise thee again, Father, for who thou art, that you are the only true and living God, that you are the God who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And Father, we rejoice, Father, for those that you have saved in this congregation, Father. And Father, even as the pastor is another week off here in this place, bless thy word even as it goes forth. Bless the times of prayer even on Wednesday night. And Father, bless the services even next Lord's Day with Gregory. And Lord, bless every faithful servant of the cross, Father, for Jesus Christ's name and glory. And Father, take us to our homes in safety. In Jesus' name, amen.